May we pray. Heavenly Father, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We bless your name for your wonderful goodness and grace to us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the consciousness of your presence. We thank you that you dwell within us through your Holy Spirit, and you make us aware that you are indeed our God. We give praise to you for your might and your majesty. We lift up our voices in gratitude for blessings given through years past. And Father, this morning, as we are gathered in this building, we just desire to be still and know that you are God, that all that we are is from you, our source, that you have blessed us in days past, and that you are our hope for the years to come. Father, I pray that you would meet with us this morning, that you would work a work in our hearts, that our memories may be renewed, and the commitment of our whole being be renewed to you for your glory. For we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake we pray it. Amen. I never feel more right in our engagements in our community of learning than when we are here together in worship. And among those times we're here together in worship, I never feel better than on Founders Day. Because whatever Alex Haley and others taught us, they have taught us that roots are really important. And today, when we step back and pause in the context of worship to engage our rootage, we're reminded that in the high winds of change, really two things matter. One is the depths of the roots, and the other is the flexibility of the bough. And as these mighty oaks have stood for all these years in the forest of Wake, so can we stand if we have rootage and flexibility, no matter how high the winds of change may come. So today, in the context of gratitude and excitement, enthusiasm for the past and for the future, and most of all, within the company of some dear and cherished friends, we meet to worship our God. We welcome you. We're glad you're here. It would be very difficult for me to call the names of persons that ought to be recognized in our worship today, and I would like for them to be recognized. Suffice it to say, we have a number of community visitors and Wake Forest visitors and Raleigh visitors, and we're proud of them, every one. We have on campus yesterday and today, our trustees. They come from almost every state of the Union. Many of them travel 2 days to get here. Some of them have driven 3 days to come by car. But they are loyal persons, and they are persons upon whom so much depends, as it has been in the past, so it is in the future. So we welcome our trustees, and we engage them in the work that's just unfinished, both today and throughout many a day. We also have today some very special guests in the families of two honored guests. I speak first to the family of Mr. and Mrs. A.J. Fletcher. I'm going to ask you, Mr. Fletcher, if you would, to stand for a moment. Let our people recognize you, because many of them already know you. We welcome you, and we welcome Mrs. Fletcher and the entire family and friends whom we've invited and were able to attend. Thank you for coming. And over there in a chair, we're not going to let him get up, because he would if we even gave him a bit of a chance, is Dr. A.C. Reed. I reckon if one person typifies the spirit of what is Wake Forest College, Wake Forest University, and Wake Forest community, it just might be that man. And we're delighted that he and Mrs. Reed are able to be here today. Would you just hold up your hand and let everybody know you're over there? Thank you so very much for attending this service. In the early 1900s, a teenager, not yet finished with high school, was called aside upstairs in his old home built in the 1840s on a farm near Denton, North Carolina. That teenager was Albert Clayton Reed. The person who called him aside was the Reverend James Floyd Fletcher, not an infrequent visitor to that house. During their conversation, mature minister, young fledgling teenager, the Reverend Fletcher impressed upon the brilliant young A.C. Reed two things. "I have confidence in you," he said. "You can do something special with your life," he said. Reflecting upon that encounter during his teen years, Dr. Reed told me recently, and I'm going to quote him, "It changed my life. I began to feel that I really could make an impact with my pile of sand," unquote. Now, this kind of stirring witness was repeated again and again and again, time after time, during the career of the Reverend James Floyd Fletcher, mountain missionary. The Reverend Fletcher was born in a log cabin on South Beaver Creek in Ashe County, North Carolina, on November the 11th, 1858. At age 13, he became a Christian. At age 17, he received a certificate to teach school and secured his first class at Pew Schoolhouse on the New River in Virginia. When he was only 18, he married Louisa Barca, and 14 children were born into their household. For 71 years, the Reverend Fletcher was active in home missions ministry, preaching on an average one sermon every 5 days every week of his life. His ministry focused in Ashe County, North Carolina, and in New River, Virginia. He wrote a history of those two Baptist associations. Among the enduring evidences of his abounding ministry is the chartering of the Oak Hill Academy in 1879 near the mouth of Wilson, Virginia. For the rest of his life, the Reverend Fletcher supported and nurtured his mountain school. It's not at all, I don't think, sacrilegious to affirm that the Reverend James Floyd Fletcher founded more churches, especially Baptist churches, than the Apostle Paul. He died in July 1946. In 1966, his son A.J. Fletcher, a lawyer in Raleigh, wrote a brief story of his father's missionary ministry. Now, much of that story consists of quotations from the Reverend Fletcher's diary, which is an autobiographical and historical bit written by this robust man of faith. An excerpt from his diary puts in perspective his arrival at Denton, North Carolina in 1912, where in that upper room he encountered that teenager, young A.C. Reed. So I'd like to read from his diary just an excerpt that puts his ministry in perspective. "In 1889, I received a call to Young's Chapel and Liberty Hill churches with a promise of $250 per year." That's right, per year. I read that three times, and that's what it says, per year. A princely salary for that country at that time. The churches were in Grayson County, Virginia, just across the state line from where I lived. In the New River Association, I moved my family to Young's Chapel on the first day of December, 1890, in an oxen wagon. Within 6 months, I'd been called to mission board to two other churches and offered an appointment by the State Mission Board of Virginia as missionary at Independence, Virginia. I preached there for 9 years and organized a church and another church at Bell Haven at a salary of $300 per year. I had not asked for this nor expected it. I now had a handsome income, much greater than anyone had ever commanded in that country. By this time, I had a large family, but I was able to buy myself a good horse and later a buggy and live in comparative ease. I remained there until 1900. During that time, I had wonderful success in my work. I organized the Friendship Church on Laurel Creek in Grayson County and Gold Hill Church on New River, 5 or 6 miles below the mouth of Wilson. I also had the honor of being the first preacher to preach home missions and take regular collections in Grayson County, Virginia, and in Ashe and Allegheny Counties, North Carolina. In 1900, I was called back to Ashe County to take charge of the work at Jefferson and mission work in other parts of the county, and I moved to Jefferson, much against the wishes of my people in Virginia. Here I succeeded, especially in founding the Old Fields Church and the Obidge Church. In 1905, I moved in answer to a call from churches in Allegheny County to a new parsonage at Whitehead in Allegheny County, where for 3 years I had wonderful success, preaching at Sparta, Laurel Springs, Liberty, Pine Fork, and New Hope churches. In 1908, I was recalled to my old field in Grayson County, Virginia, and was able to do some of the best work of my life. We organized a new church at Troutdale, Virginia, built a new church house there, and when I left, it had 50 members and everything was going quite well. We also built a new house at the Baptist Union and established one of our home mission board's mountain schools at Oak Hill in 1910. I remained with that until 1912, when I received a call to Denton, Stoner's Grove, Piney, Churchland, Smith's Grove churches in Davidson County, North Carolina. And it was in that charge in Denton that he and that youngster over there in the chair got together in an upper room and launched another ministry. It's therefore extremely fitting, I think, that this marvelous missionary and his ministry live on at Southeastern Seminary. And he will do that through a beautiful Shoemerrick Caroline, the Americana Caroline, by Shoemerrick Carolines Incorporated in Sellersville, Pennsylvania, which you have heard in entering the chapel and you will hear in departing from the chapel and you will hear in a moment played as a prayer response, consists of 75 bell tones. 25 of them are Flemish bells, 25 harp bells, and 25 celesta bells. It also has Westminster chimes and a time clock capable of tape playing. It's been given to our seminary by Mr. A.J. Fletcher from Raleigh in memory of his parents, the Reverend James Floyd Fletcher and Mrs. Louisa Barker Fletcher, and in honor of his father's esteemed friend, Dr. Albert Clayton Reed. We receive it today with the greatest of delight and with the spirit in which you give it, Mr. Fletcher. We pledge you under God that when these bells peal in this community, we will not only remember our friend A.C. Reed, but we will remember the unfinished ministry of your father and your mother. Now let's pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we praise thee for crowning thy creation with the likes of us. We marvel at the risk thou didst take in making us free. We beseech thee, forgive us for the evils into which this freedom always plunges us, and affirm us in the blessings into which this freedom always delivers us. We approach thee today and every day we live as strangers apart from thy Son Jesus. Lead us to find out who we are by finding out who he is. Help us increasingly to respond to his redeeming and ordering love in our lives. Impart unto all of us today a robust generosity, which will never stop when a speech is made or a promise is delivered, but presses on till its best gift is given. We today have received far too much to be miserly. Too many have made too large a contribution into our lives for us to be ungrateful. Kindle within us then such a love for persons that all of our values are measured not by profit or loss, but by the impact of a life or an action upon our fellows. We thank thee for James Floyd Fletcher and his ministry, for Louisa Barker Fletcher and her ministry. We thank thee for A.J. Fletcher and his ministry, and for A.C. Reed and his ministry. We thank thee today especially and profoundly for this good man who's given a good and enduring gift in memory of those whose flesh is his flesh, and in honor of one who's borne the mantle of friendship remarkably. We accept the carillon today reverently, gratefully, and gladly in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through the years, it's my pleasure to present many a person from this platform, and God willing, I'll have the chance to present many another. But never will I present anyone in whom I have the greatest delight than the President Emeritus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Olin T. Binkley.
Thank you very much, President Lally, for these very gracious and generous words. This Founders Day will be remembered not for anything I may say here, but for what Mr. A.J. Fletcher has done in memory of his father and mother and in honor of Dr. A.C. Reed. We draw attention to the subject, a community of learning. The decision to establish this school was made by the Southern Baptist Convention in Chicago on May 10, 1950. The convention voted to adopt the recommendation of its Committee on Theological Education that the new seminary be named the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, that it be located in Wake Forest, North Carolina, that the convention accept the offer to purchase the campus and the buildings of Wake Forest College in Wake Forest for the sum of $1,600,000, that the articles of incorporation of the new seminary be adopted, and that the trustees of the school, as prescribed in the articles of incorporation, be elected. This decision was not made unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently and thoughtfully, and after careful assessment of the needs and of the potential capabilities and resources. In February 1951, the Board of Trustees elected Sidnor L. Staley, president of the seminary and professor of church history. Upon Dr. Staley's recommendation, the trustees elected Dr. J. Leo Green, professor of Old Testament, J.B. Hipps, professor of missions, William C. Strickland, tutor in New Testament, and Mark H. Lovelace, visiting professor for 1951-52. Although Wake Forest College did not move to its campus in Winston-Salem until 1956, it was decided to begin operation of the seminary in one building on the campus at Wake Forest, and the seminary was opened on September 12, 1951. In the first semester, 85 students were enrolled, and the total enrollment for the 1951-52 academic year was 102. In February 1952, the Board of Trustees elected 6 additional members of the faculty, and at the beginning of the first semester of the second session in September 1952, 9 professors signed the Articles of Faith. They were S.L. Staley, J.L. Green, J.B. Hips, O.T. Binkley, R.T. Daniel, M.H. Lovelace, E.A. McDowell Jr., M.R. McKay, and S.A. Newman. The faculty brought to their tasks a strong sense of mission and a clear perception of the seminary as a community of learning. This perception of an excellent theological school was articulated in an address by a member of the faculty in the orientation program on September 9, 1952. It was set forth in a statement adopted unanimously by the Board of Trustees on February 18, 1965. It was quoted on page 2 of the report of an incentive and comprehensive self-study of the seminary by the faculty and trustees in 1970. It found its way eventually into the catalog, where it stands as the first paragraph of the catalog for 1978-79. Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary is a community of learning, deeply rooted in the Christian faith, thorough in scholarship, and vitally related to the churches. It is appropriate on Founders Day of the 27th year in the history of the school to draw attention to this precise statement of the characteristics of the essential nature of this community of learning, which is dedicated to the education of Christian ministers in harmony with the mind of Christ. We are mindful, first of all, that this community of learning is deeply rooted in the Christian faith. The life of a theological seminary, which guides the intellectual and spiritual growth of students who give promise of genuine usefulness in the Christian ministry, is undergirded and enriched by faith. The faith of which the New Testament speaks is confidence in the power of truth, and it is also trust in and reliance upon Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth, who spoke through the Hebrew prophets, who came in Jesus to visit and redeem his people, who knows us as we are and loves us, and who is able to do more than we ask or think. This faith involves the whole person, heart, soul, mind, and strength. It enables us to bring our emotions under the control of intelligence, gives us inward strength to bear the outward strain of responsible living in a complex society, equips us to stand in the front line of conscience and compassion in the church and in the world, keeps alive hope in our hearts, and fortifies us to face the future, not knowing what a day may bring forth, with courage and steadiness of mind. On this campus, there is a dynamic interrelation of study, worship, and service. In theological inquiry, informed by rigorous study of the primary documents of the gospel according to God, we learn the grammar of faith, and in worship, we affirm our faith. In Christian worship, as William Temple said, we submit our minds to God's truth, open our hearts to God's love, and commit our lives without selfish reservation to God's will. A thoughtful person who studies the New Testament with a teachable mind discovers that faith is keyed to action and that Christian worship issues in service. At the center of the seal of this seminary is 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Adequate equipment for dealing with the issues of life and death includes a vision of God in Jesus Christ, a memory of the crucifixion of Jesus, where life at its deepest dimension was broken open for the salvation of sinners, and an affirmative response to the insight of the pioneer of faith, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. When we go from study and worship with this equipment, we are ready and able to devote our intelligence and energy to the needful work of the world, to visit and strengthen those who have broken hearts, our broken minds, to participate courageously and wisely in the decision-making process in every human group to which we belong, and to interpret life in the perspective of the mission and message of the Lord of all truth, whose kingdom of righteousness and love cannot be shaken. In these moments of contemplation, in the second place, we understand that this community of learning is thorough in scholarship. We do not desire to claim too much because we know our weaknesses, and we do not want to claim too little because we are aware of the heavy responsibilities and the exciting opportunities which have confronted this school from its venturesome beginning in the autumn of 1951, and which have never been more challenging than they are today. There is evidence that the Southern Baptist Convention expects its seminaries to provide comprehensive theological education of high quality, and that the founders of this school, convinced that the pastoral, educational, and missionary tasks of the Christian ministry in all of its forms are no less exacting in their demands than the practice of law or medicine, were committed to admirable standards of academic excellence. As early as 1952, the Executive Committee of the Board of Trustees and the faculty agreed that academic policies and procedures should be formulated and maintained at least at the level of the requirements for accreditation by the National Accrediting Agency of Theological Education in the United States. This commitment was reflected in the selection of professors, in the admission of students, in the construction of the curriculum, in the resolute determination not to undertake more than we could do well, and in the heroic decision in the preparation of the annual operating budget to give priority to instructional needs, including rapid and continuous development of library facilities and services at a time when a frugal fiscal policy was very restrictive. In the spring of 1958, prior to the fifth annual commencement, a team of mature scholars visited the campus and inspected every major dimension of the life of the seminary. on the basis of their report and of the data submitted in writing by the faculty and administrative officers, the school was accredited by the American Association of Theological Schools with a notation that the faculty was insufficient in size. In 1968, upon the recommendation of the president of the seminary, the trustees and faculty voted to authorize a self-study of the life and work of the institution. This study was completed in March 1970. The next month, a team of theological educators from Boston and St. Louis came to the campus for a penetrating reinspection of the school. And on June 24, 1970, we were notified that the Commission on Accrediting, at its recent meeting, voted unanimously to continue the accreditation of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary with no notation. The dimension of quality in Christian scholarship requires not only fidelity to approved standards of research and instruction, but also daily participation in the process of learning. An accredited theological seminary in the mainstream of Christian thought in 1978 is a vast, complex enterprise, but it retains three elements of the old one-room school: the teacher, the student, and the process of learning. The word learning is used to designate a large and growing body of knowledge, which is the product of the creative work of scholars across the years in many lands. But learning is more than a record of scholarly work already accomplished. It is an intellectual process, a serious search for knowledge and wisdom, an examination of what great Christian thinkers in other centuries said and wrote, a clarification of ideas and values, a persistent effort to attain a coherent interpretation of life, illuminated by biblical and theological insights and compatible with the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. In this process, there is no place for arrogance and complacency, and no substitute for the love of learning, the will to excellence, and the capacity for arduous and honest toil. This community of learning finally is vitally related to the churches. The men and women who serve God in vocational tasks on this campus care and care deeply about the students and about the relation of students to the churches. One of the major achievements in the advancement of theological education during the past 25 years is a more adequate understanding of the dynamic interrelation of academic excellence and responsible participation in Christian ministry in the churches and in the communities in which the churches are located. In the perspective of this understanding, the students admitted to this seminary are certified by the churches from which they came, and most of them have an opportunity to relate the insights which are sharpened and deepened in the classroom and in the library to the aspirations and needs of persons whom they meet through work in the churches. in 1972, a study based upon records in the Office of Field Education disclosed that 514 of the 567 students enrolled here in the 1971-72 academic year were engaged in service of a remunerative nature in churches and in Christian social ministries. This was 90 6/10% of the total student body. The crucial test of the integrity and effectiveness of a theological school is the expression of its purpose and spirit in the lives of its graduates. This is a relatively young seminary, but it has 3,346 graduates who have successfully completed a course of study planned to provide scope and depth essential to vocational competence. There are diversities of promise and performance among these graduates, but there is impressive evidence that in the main, they came out of the seminary with a personal knowledge of God and man, a zeal for the advancement of the gospel, a firm resolve to maintain the habit of scholarly work, a spiritual quality of life, and a willingness to serve in obscure places, as well as in prominent positions, which indicate that they are sincere and informed servants of God. In the second half of the 18th century, Charles Wesley wrote the hymn entitled, "A Charge to Keep I Have." The charge is to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. It is not easy in 1978 to serve the present age in which there is strong resistance to the biblical faith and the biblical ethic without diluting the gospel or subordinating the moral demands of Jesus to the patterns and incentives of contemporary culture. But this is exactly the task the living God has assigned to us. Recalling the heritage, recognizing the opportunity, and rejoicing in the hope of a community of learning which is deeply rooted in Christian faith, thorough in scholarship, and vitally related to the churches, let us thank God and press on with wisdom and courage in the vocation to which we are called.
Our Father, we pray that your love will ring in our hearts and that we, each one, may go and ring out the good news even as thou hast commanded. And as we go out into the world, may your Spirit go with us and be in us as we seek to serve thee. Bless this seminary, those who teach, those who learn, as it continues to prepare those for full-time Christian service. And help each of us to be what you want us to be, that through us your will may be done. In the name of thy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.